Welcome to GoGo Radio, exclusively on GoGo.com. I'm Mike Simpson, and today we will be talking about how Hibernate helps you develop EJB 3.0 applications. For those of you who don't know me, I'm an expert in Hibernate, EJB, and Java, and I've been working and teaching in these technologies for over 10 years. I welcome your input and look forward to your comments and questions. So be sure to use the question box on this page. Java Enterprise Edition, or Java EE, previously called J2EE, is a powerful, but notoriously complex, platform for developing server-side applications. Complexity has long been cited as one of the major factors holding back Java EE's adoption. Over the past several years, the Java open source community, the Java Community Process, JCP, and major Java EE vendors have endeavored to make Java EE simpler. For example, new design paradigms such as POJO, or Plain Old Java Object Services, service interceptors, and dependency injections are practiced in real-world applications to simplify Java EE development. New tools and frameworks such as Hibernate have been widely adopted for the same purpose. Please note that simplifying a programming model does not reduce its functionality. Simplification merely hides the complex logic behind framework code or reusable components. In essence, simplification strips complexity from one part of the system that needs explicit management by application developers to another part that's invisible to most developers. Java annotations are the key behind EJB 3.0, which ties POJO services, POJO persistence, and dependency injection together into a complete enterprise middleware solution. In the first part of this discussion, we're going to look at EJB 3.0's annotation-driven programming model. From the developer's point of view, EJB 3.0 uses Java annotations extensively. The annotations have two key advantages. They replace excessive XML-based configuration files, and they eliminate the need for rigid component models. Those XML-based deployment descriptors and annotations can both be used to configure service-related attributes in Java EE applications. Descriptors and annotations differ in that XML files are processed separately from the code, often at runtime, while annotations are compiled with the code and they're checked by the compiler. This has some important implications for developers: verbosity, robustness, and flexibility, among others. XML configuration files are known for their verbosity. To configure the code, XML files must duplicate a lot of information, such as class names and method names, from the code. Java annotations, on the other hand, are part of the code. They specify configuration information without external reference to the code. This duplicated code information in the XML configuration files introduces multiple points of potential failures. For example, if you misspell a method name in the XML file, the application will fail at runtime. In other words, XML configuration files are less robust than annotations because they're checked by the compiler and they're processed with the rest of the code. Since the XML files are processed separately from the code, the XML-based configuration data is not hard-coded and can be changed later. The deploy time flexibility of XML is a great feature for system administrators. However, annotations are easy to use, and they prove sufficient for most application needs. XML files are more complex, and they can be used to address more advanced issues. EJB 3 allows you to configure most application settings via annotations. EJB 3 also supports using XML files to override default annotation values and to configure external resources such as database connections. Annotations also allow us to do away with the rigid component model that plagued EJB 1 and EJB 2, in addition to replacing and simplifying XML descriptors. EJB components are container-managed objects. The container manipulates the behavior and internal state of the bean instances at runtime. So for this behavior to occur, the EJB 2.1 specification defined a rigid component model to which the beans had to conform. Each EJB class had to inherit from a certain abstract class that provided the callback hooks into the container. And since Java supported only single inheritance, that rigid component model limited a developer's ability to build complex object structures using EJB components. And that's especially a problem for mapping complex application data in entity beans. Now, all container services in EJB 3 can be configured and can be delivered to any plain old Java object in the application by using annotations, which means that in most cases, special component classes are not needed. Now, in part 2 of our presentation, we're going to talk about session bean lifecycle management. In order to achieve loose coupling, the application will defer creation, pooling, and destruction of the session bean instance to the EJB 3.0 container. This is the inversion of control design pattern, and the application will basically be working with the business interfaces. But what if the application will need finer control over the session object? For instance, maybe the application needs to perform database initialization when the container creates the session bean, or maybe it needs to close external connections when the bean is destroyed. Now you can do these by implementing lifecycle callback methods in the bean class. These methods are called by the container at various stages of the bean's lifecycle, for example, bean creation or bean destruction. In EJB 3, you can specify any bean method as a callback by annotating it with one or more of the following six annotations: @postconstruct, @predestroy, @prepassivate, @postactivate, @init, or @remove. Unlike EJB 2.1, where all of the callback methods must be implemented even if they are empty, EJB 3.0 beans can have any number of callback methods with any method name. Now let's talk for a minute about each of these different annotations. First let's talk about @postconstruct. The container will immediately call such an annotated method after a bean instance is instantiated, and this annotation would apply for both stateless or stateful session beans. Next, @predestroy. The annotated method is called before the container destroys an unused or expired bean instance from its object pool. This annotation would be applicable to both stateless and stateful session beans. Next is @prepassivate. If a stateful session bean instance is idle for too long, the container might passivate that bean and store its state to the cache. A method tagged with the @prepassivate annotation would be called before the container passivates the bean instance. This annotation would therefore apply only to stateful session beans. Next is @postactivate. When the client uses that passivated stateful session bean again, a new instance is created and the bean state is restored. A method tagged with the @postactivate annotation will be called when the activated bean instance is ready. That annotation would only be applicable for stateful session beans. Next is @init. This annotation designates initialization methods for a stateful session bean. It differs from the @postconstruct annotation in that multiple methods can be tagged with @init in a stateful session bean. However, each bean instance can have only one @init method invoked. Finally, there's @remove. When the application calls the @remove tagged method, the container knows to remove the bean instance from the object pool after the method executes. That's particularly useful for stateful session beans. The EJB3 container determines which @init method to invoke depending upon how the bean is created. The @postconstruct method will be called after the @init method. Now, in part 3 of our presentation, we'll talk about using annotations to deliver container services to plain old Java objects. In addition to managing the lifecycle and access of the loosely coupled service objects, an EJB 3.0 container also provides runtime services to its managed plain old Java objects through the use of simple annotations. Three examples of runtime services that the container can provide through these annotations include transaction services, security services, and generic interceptors. First, let's take a look at transaction services. The most useful container service is probably the transaction service, @transaction, which ensures database integrity in case of application failure or application exception. You can simply annotate a POJO method to declare its transaction attribute. The container will then run the method in the appropriate transactional context. For instance, a transaction may be required, the method may not be allowed to run inside a transaction, or so forth. The next is security services. The container can also provide security services to authenticate users and to limit access to its managed plain old Java objects based upon user roles. For each POJO class, you may specify a security domain using the @securitydomain annotation, which tells the container where to find the password and user role lists. Then, for each method, you may tag a security constraint annotation to specify who is allowed to run this method. The third example is generic interceptors. Both transaction and security services may be considered runtime interceptors managed by the container. The container intercepts the method calls from the EJB stub and applies transaction context or security constraints around the calls. EJB 3 allows you to extend the container services by writing your own interceptors. The @aroundinvoke annotation allows you to specify any bean method as the interceptor method that will be executed before and after any other bean method runs. I hope you have enjoyed today's presentation. I look forward to your comments and to your questions. You may email your input to me by using the question box found on this page, and I will be answering your questions and I will be replying to your comments in upcoming presentations. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there is a show that you would like for me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thank you for your time today, and remember to tune into GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.